If you'll take your Bible this morning and turn to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 9, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, I'm going to step aside from our series this morning on contending for the faith. Trust you all had a good Thanksgiving. I was privileged last week, even though I was set aside from preaching, I was privileged to just sit quietly by myself and listen to the Word of God preached here at Lakes Bond Baptist Church. And I was so thankful for both messages that were preached last Sunday here. I was just rejoicing in the Lord for that message last Sunday morning. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Because when you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, and when you focus your attention on Him, and as we looked this morning in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, it says, thanks be to God for His unspeakable gift. Boy, it keeps your perspective in the right place. And in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And then Sunday night, Brother Hoover preaching about just reaching the lost with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I was just sitting there listening. And I stayed awake, by the way. I was sitting there listening, just thanking the Lord for both of those messages. You know, Paul writes, as Paul is in prison, and he writes to Timothy, and he says, even though I'm in bonds, Paul says, even though he was in prison, he says, the word of God is not bound. And I was thinking of that last week, that the word of God continues to go forth, because that's God's desire. But this morning, I want us to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15. We're just going to start here and really, as a way of introduction. But in verse number 15, it says, thanks be to God for His unspeakable gift. Thanks be to God for His unspeakable gift. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank You this morning for Your word. And Lord, I pray that Your word would speak to our hearts this morning and affect our lives, Lord. Lord, if we come in and listen, if we open up the word of God, if we hear it, then close up our Bibles and walk away, and nothing has affected us, nothing has changed, Lord, then have we not missed the whole purpose of Your word and the preaching of Your word? Lord, I pray this morning that our hearts would be changed. Lord, that we would not think that we have no need to listen. Lord, that we would not sit with hearts that might be filled with pride or arrogance and think that we don't need to grow or we don't need to change. But Lord, that we would listen attentively with hearts that are receptive. With meekness, we'd receive the engrafted word. And Lord, allow You, by Your Spirit, through Your word that You've given to us, to speak to our hearts, that it might affect us, Lord. And we'll thank You for it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. And we know that in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15, that unspeakable gift is the gift of Jesus Christ, the gift of salvation through Jesus Christ, the gospel. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And Paul writes and he says, this gift of the gospel, this gift of salvation, this gift of Christ, he says, it's an unspeakable gift. And what he is saying in using that phrase, and what God is reminding us and telling us and teaching us, is that there's not a one of us could really speak and fully speak everything about the gospel. You just stop and begin to think about the gospel of Jesus Christ and everything about it. Everything it means. From all the way in eternity past to the eternity future. From all the prophecies, from all the plans and purposes, from all that Jesus Christ did and all that he went through on the cross and all that it entailed, and from the love of God, the mercy of God, the grace of God, and then to think about how the gift of the gospel, the gift of eternal life has come to you and me through Jesus Christ. He says, thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. You know, as I was thinking about this verse, as actually Pastor Donnie mentioned it last week, and it started me really thinking about it. You know, what a verse. If there was a verse in the Bible that would be a transitional verse for us going from Thanksgiving to the Christmas season, this would be it, wouldn't it? You just stop and think about it. What a verse. You know, what an opportunity to use this verse to speak to someone else about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because it says thanks. And we've just come through a season of Thanksgiving. And where we are to be thankful. And we're coming into the next season, of which we are so familiar, is Christmas. And by the way, it's okay now to sing Christmas carols. All right, we're through Thanksgiving. It's okay to sing Christmas carols. But you know, we come into the next season. But you know, many times the Christian life is very much like Thanksgiving afternoon. You say, what do you mean by that? Well, you know how it is on Thanksgiving. You sit down at a table and you eat this great feast. And then what normally happens Thanksgiving afternoon? At some point, everybody sits down and becomes just like Nahor in the Old Testament. You're saying, what? You know what Nahor means in the Old Testament, by the way? To snore. Imagine having the name Nahor. It means to snore. And isn't that typical of Thanksgiving afternoon, that at some point in every household, in every place, there's been some snoring going on because everybody's gotten comfortable and everybody has just settled down and everybody has just taken time, and pretty soon the eyelids start to droop, and doesn't matter who's playing football or who's whatever, and we begin to just take a nap. Well, you know, the Christian life can become very much like that if we're not careful. For we can spend a few days, we can spend a Thursday, and we can get together on a Wednesday night and have a Thanksgiving Eve service. And we can read such a verse as, thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. And then we can just settle back into our level of complacency and lose the wonder of it all. And lose the awesomeness of our salvation. And we can just go back to our normal routine and just kind of become complacent once again. And that's not what God wants. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that the gospel and our salvation ought to be our life. It ought to be our life. And yet, when it comes to Thanksgiving afternoon, at some point, as everybody is just kind of getting comfortable, someone will come along and just stir things up and wake things up. Might be a grandkid. Might be a grandchild. Might be someone that wants to play a game. Might be someone that just wants to have a good, lively discussion. And we use the phrase, boy, you really know how to stir it up, don't you? Right? Doesn't take much these days to stir things up. All you have to do is sit around a table and mention politics or pandemic, and things get stirred up. But you know, this morning we're going to look at three passages of Scripture where the Bible says we ought to be stirred up, where the Bible says we ought to be woken up. And they all come down to the unspeakable gift of the gospel. And three times in the epistles, the word to stir up is used. And it's used by Peter and it's used by Paul. Both of them, it's used in the latter days of their life. Peter writes and he says, I know that shortly I must put off this earthly body. And Paul writes and he says, I've finished my course. I'm ready to depart. And as both of them come to the end years of their life, come to the latter years of their life, and they're looking closer to the day when they'll be home with the Lord Jesus Christ, they understood the importance of stirring others up in regard to the gospel of Jesus Christ. What's interesting is that when you read your English Bible, the word stir up is used three times. But when it's translated into the Spanish dialect, in one of those passages, they use another phrase that it means the same thing, because the word stir up means to awaken, to get it going again. And in one passage of Scripture, in the Spanish, they actually rephrase it and they say to fan the flames. Because maybe the flame of the gospel in our heart, in our life, has started to grow cold. Maybe today it needs to just be stirred up, and the embers and the coals need to be poked with a stick a little bit by the Word of God. For if we lose sight of the gospel of Jesus Christ, understand this, for a Christian to lose sight of the gospel of Christ is to lose sight of your purpose to be on this world, on this earth. The purpose, the reason why God has you and me here right now as Christians, as saved, as redeemed, as blood-bought people, is to share the gift that we have received with someone else that has yet to receive that gift. And this morning, I want us to look at three passages of Scripture in regard to the gospel, in regard to the gift of eternal life, in regard to the gift of salvation that we have through faith in Jesus Christ. My prayer is that it would stir us up, that it would awaken us, that we would not just go through these next few weeks and days and months and years with an attitude of complacency, or with thanksgiving because we're saved, but more so with an urgency because of the blessing of being saved, to speak to someone else about the Lord Jesus Christ. As I was listening last Sunday night, I'll get to that in a minute. As I was listening to that message last Sunday night, it reminded me of another message that I heard back in October of 1998. It was a Sunday night message in October of 1998, preached right here by Pastor Hunt. He had retired. He finally came back to visit. And he preached a message in October of 1998 on going into all the world and preaching the gospel to every creature. And I remember how the Lord used that message that Sunday night and stirred my heart up. And I remember it was that message that stirred my heart up to go to New London just to witness to people. And how through that message, folks got saved. Church was started. There's people in glory today because the Word of God stirs our heart up for the gospel of Jesus Christ. So the first passage of Scripture that we want to look at this morning is found in 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. And understand this, these folks, whether it's Paul or Peter, whether it's Timothy that Paul's writing to, or Peter writing to the Christians that are dispersed. Understand this, folks, these people were living in circumstances much more difficult than you and I are living in today. Oh, we're living in challenging circumstances, but I've yet to see the challenge of our circumstances begin to compare with what was going on in the church in the days in which these men lived and preached. In 2 Peter chapter 1, I want you to look at verse number 13, and we'll start here this morning. And here we see that we need to be stirred up about the gospel blessing. The gospel blessing, that we are blessed because of the gospel. Paul writes to Timothy, or writes to the Ephesians, and he says, we are blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We are blessed, folks. We're saved. We're saved. Wake up. By the way, I was looking at introductions to messages. Introductions to certain, everybody has to have a good introduction to a message. You know what Peter's introductions were? You know what Paul's introduction was? He said these words, hearken, listen up. Hey, folks, listen. If you're saved today, you are blessed. You are blessed of God through Jesus Christ. And when we lose sight of the blessing of our salvation, our foot begins to slide quickly. Oh, but when we get back to the fact that we are blessed because of Jesus Christ, oh, it keeps us on the right path with the right perspective. And Peter writes, look at verse 13. Yea, I think it is meet. Peter says, this is important. He says, it's necessary. It's something I must do, Peter says. I think it's meet as long as I am in this tabernacle to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. Peter says, as long as I have breath, as long as I have life, as long as I am here, I know the importance of stirring you up to remember something, to put you in remembrance. He says, lest you forget. Well, Peter, what two things? What two things do you want to stir us up with? It all comes down to this, the gospel, folks. The first one I want to remind you of is in verse number 9, but he that lacketh these things is blind, cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. There's the first one. Peter says, I think it's important to stir you up. Peter says, I'm about to go off into glory. He says, the Lord showed me back in John chapter 21 how my life is going to be, how it's going to end, how I'm going to glorify God. He says, but I'm still here. And he says, as long as I'm here, by God's grace, he says, I want to stir you up that you don't forget, that you don't forget that unspeakable gift. And he says, because you know what? It's possible you forget that you were purged from your old sins. You know, there's many words that are used in the Bible to describe the gift of salvation, the gift of the gospel, the gift of eternal life. Jesus said to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, marvel not that I said unto you, ye must be born again. You must be born again. Oh, we can talk about the gospel. We can speak about being forgiven. We can speak about the gift of eternal life. But here in 2 Peter, Peter goes to this phrase. He says, you were purged from your own sins. Back in Isaiah chapter 1, the Lord says, come, make yourselves clean. He says, you can't. But then he says, come, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as wool. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be white as snow. There's the promise way back in the Old Testament that every filthy, rotten, vile, despicable, abominable sin that I've committed against Jesus Christ, that put him on the cross, that through Jesus Christ and his precious blood, every sin is washed in the blood. Every sin. Hebrews chapter 1, speaking of Jesus Christ in that great chapter that paints a picture of Jesus Christ in all his glory by the Father himself. And he says this, speaking of his son Jesus Christ, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty. Oh, you can't purge your sins, folks. Stop trying. You can't cleanse yourself. But Jesus Christ, when he went to the cross of Calvary, the Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. But then it says in Hebrews chapter 9, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. And Peter writes and he says, man, don't forget. Don't lose sight. Don't let it slip from your mind. Don't let it fall from the depths of your heart. He says, you've been purged. You've been cleansed. 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 7 says the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. All sin. Think about it. When you trusted Jesus Christ your Savior, because God loved you and sent his son Jesus Christ to die for you, and because Jesus Christ poured out his blood on that cross and offered it up as an offering to God for your sins. When you place your faith in Jesus Christ, all those sins, all that filthy, rotten, disgusting, vile sin was cleansed completely. And you're white as snow. Peter says, boy, we need to be stirred up to remember that. Folks, we do. Because when we lose sight of that, when we stop remembering and thanking God every day for the simple yet unspeakable gift of salvation, that's when our life begins to go in the wrong direction. And that's why we can say in everything, give thanks. Because no matter what, my sins have been purged by the blood of Jesus Christ. But Peter doesn't. He says, that's just the beginning. Let me give you one more out of 2 Peter chapter 1. And this is why it's such an unspeakable gift. Because, all right, Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 2, you were dead in your trespass and sin. You were separated from God. You were at enmity with God. No spiritual life. No, nothing. No hope. No strength. No power. But then Jesus Christ came in. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1. Look at verse number one. Simon Peter, a servant, apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us. Like precious faith. Boy, just stop and think about that. Is your faith precious this morning? Is your relationship with God precious this morning? The world doesn't know anything about a relationship with God. They wander about in darkness, and yet we have the light of Christ. What a precious light. What a precious faith. But he says, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of our Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. Peter says, listen, he says, we need to be stirred up. First of all, remember that we've been purged from our sins. We've been cleansed. We've been washed in the blood. We're clean. We're saved. We're forgiven. But he says, that's just a start. Because not only are you purged, but now there's a new life. Now you are a partaker of the divine nature of God and Christ. Stop and think about what that means this morning. Folks, the reason our world is such a mess is because they don't have Christ in them. But we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. Paul says, Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the power. Faith of the Son of God. Oh, Paul writes in Colossians, one of my favorite verses, verse number 13 of chapter 1. He says, we've been delivered. In Colossians chapter 1. Oh, what a precious thing this is. Colossians chapter 1. Verse number 13. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness? He's delivered us from the power of darkness. And translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. And that's our life in Christ. We've been freed from bondage. We've been delivered from the power so that we can live a new life, but only through Christ. So first of all, Peter writes and he says, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, and I agree with Peter as your pastor, boy, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, as long as God gives me breath, by God's grace, I'm going to keep just asking God, let's stir us up. Help us not to forget how blessed we are as believers. Lord, don't let it slip from our heart. Don't let it slip from our mind. We can be so fixed on this world. We can be so caught up with the affairs of this life that we can forget that because of the blood of Jesus Christ, we are blessed. We are blessed. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift and partakers of the divine nature. So that's the first one. Thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift, a gospel blessing. We're purged, folks. We're purged. And boy, you just start thinking about that. You just stop and think about how many times you faced a challenge trying to clean something. Right? Right? Come on now. You know how difficult it is sometimes to clean something, whatever it might be. And yet the blood of Jesus Christ cleansed you from something that no man is able to clean, your sins. And then gave you his spirit to indwell you so that you can live a clean and pure life. Peter says, as long as I'm in this body, I'm going to stir you up. But then you go to 2 Peter chapter 3. Because folks, when we're stirred up in ourselves about how blessed we are with the gospel of Jesus Christ, it ought to lead us to be stirred up about something else, and that's the gospel burden. The gospel burden. 2 Peter chapter 3. Peter writes again, this second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. So now Peter's writing again. This is the second time he says it. He says, I want to stir you up again. I want to awaken your mind. I want to wake you up. Peter says, we need to be woken up. And the reason we need to be woken up is because while we are asleep, people are dying and going to hell. Why has this pandemic not gripped our hearts about the fires of hell? Every day we read the news. Every day we listen to the news. And one of the things that the news is telling us every day ought to stir us up. There's not been a day since probably last February that somewhere on the news there's been the death count because of this pandemic. And yet, what has it done to the hearts of Christians? Why has it not stirred us up with the gospel of Jesus Christ? How many of those thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people are facing something worse right now than COVID-19. We as Christians just slide through life. You see, Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 9, we need to be stirred up with a gospel burden. We need to be stirred up with a gospel blessing that we're saved. But he says we also need to be stirred up with a gospel blessing or a gospel burden. And here it is in 2 Peter chapter 3. He says this second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. That you be mindful, that your mind would be full of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this, yes, there's coming the last day scoffers walking in their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and that the earth standing out of the water in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. But the heavens and the earth which are now by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Peter writes and he says, yeah, there's scoffers. There's always scoffers saying, where is the promise of his coming? Where is the judgment that God has spoken about? They scoffed at Noah. They scoffed at Enoch.
They scoffed at Peter. They scoffed at Paul. They scoff at you and me. They laugh in the face of God when we speak of the judgment of God. But look down at verse number 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. The elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Every person in this world right now is trying to do their best to prevent a flu called COVID-19 from affecting them. Social distancing and masks, and I agree with it wholeheartedly. But let me tell you this, that for the unsafe person, they can do all they want to try and escape the COVID-19. They can do all they want to try and preserve their life. But without Christ, there is coming a day when they will stand before the judgment of God and be cast into hell because of their sins. And nothing they can do will prevent that day from happening. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. We look for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ in the clouds. We desire to meet Him in the air. But the moment that happens, my friend, your friends down here, your relatives down here, the world down here is going to cry under the rocks to hide them from the day of His wrath. And there's only one thing holding back that promise of His coming. Paul says we need to be stirred up about this. There's only one thing holding back the day of the Lord from happening. It's His burden. Because look what it says in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Peter says we need to be stirred up about the burden, because the day of the Lord is going to come. The day of judgment is going to come. Why do we not plead with folks? Why do we not pray with folks? Why do we not speak to folks when we know the day of the Lord is coming? When we know the day of judgment is coming? When we know that it's appointed unto men once to die, and after this is judgment? When we know Revelation chapter 21, the dead are going to stand before God. They're going to stand before that judgment. The books are going to be opened. Dead are going to be judged according to what's written in those books. And if their name's not found written in the book of life, if their not name is not found written in the book of life, if their sins are still there, if they've not been purged from the blood of Jesus Christ, my friend, they are going to spend eternity in the torments of hell in the lake of fire. These are the people that we encounter every day. Family members and friends and neighbors. Peter says we need to be stirred up, because God is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And yet we go through life just like it's Thanksgiving afternoon. So number one, we need to be stirred up with a gospel blessing. Number two, we need to be stirred up with a gospel burden. But number three, turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1. Paul writes to Timothy. And basically, we need to be stirred up with a gospel boldness. With a gospel boldness. With a gospel boldness. It's amazing. Christians have more boldness about the pandemic and what to do about that than they do about a lost soul going to hell. Stop and consider it. Stop and consider for a moment how vocal we have been about what to do about an earthly flu that will only take your physical life, and how silent we have been about a death without Christ that'll send a person to hell. Put it in perspective, folks. How many times we've confronted one another. How many times we've spoken to others. How many times we've raised the warning flag over COVID-19 and been silent about the judgment of God upon sin. It's time to wake up. This might spare your physical life, but only this will spare a soul. Paul writes to Timothy. Paul's in prison now. He's in Rome. He's in prison. And he writes to Timothy. And Paul knows the end of his life is near. He says, I've fought a good force. I fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. I've finished my course. I'm ready. And he writes to Timothy. He's thanking Timothy for his unfeigned faith. And then he says this in verse number 6. Wherefore I, 2 Timothy chapter 1, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of hands. He says, Timothy, he says, you need to stir up the gift of God that was given you. You might say, well, is not Paul speaking about the calling of God upon Timothy's life? Yes. But has not God given us the Spirit of God within us with one purpose? Ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the world. Did not Jesus Christ say, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature? Paul writes to Timothy, he says, Timothy, you need to stir up the gift of God which is in you. And when that's translated into Spanish, from the same text, by the way, it says you need to fan the flame, man. You need to get that fire going. And Christians, we need to get the fire of the boldness of the Spirit of God that's indwelling us with the purpose of reaching the world with the gospel of Christ. We need to have that flame fan. So that the fire burns bright. So that we, like Jeremiah, would say, there's a flame burning within me, in my bones, and I must speak. I cannot be still. Paul writes to Timothy, he says, stir up that gift. And he says, why? For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love. That's the Holy Spirit. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Power, that's the Holy Spirit. Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the earth. Paul says he's given us love. That's the love of God for the world, folks. That's the love of God for the lost. That's the love of God for every individual without Christ. The power. That's the Spirit of God. No, that's not you and me. That's the Spirit of God within us. That's why Paul says, stir it up. And then he says, in a sound mind. Oh, if we were to go back to Philippians chapter 2, what does it say? Let this mind be in you. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. That being in the form of God, he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of man. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus Christ, things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth, would glorify God. Paul says we need to stir that up, folks. Oh, we need to ask God to stir the flame of the Holy Spirit within us so that we have boldness to preach the gospel. Because Paul goes on, look in 2 Timothy chapter 1. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher, an apostle, a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Paul says, you know why we need to stir up that gift? So that the gospel goes forth, so that the gospel is preached. How quickly we forget. Well, I'm so thankful that last Sunday night, Brother Ray, I was just sitting there listening as he had all of you read those verses. One that struck me once again is Romans chapter 10 and 13 down through verse number 15. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's a wonderful verse. What a wonderful promise. What a wonderful truth. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If there's someone here that's listening this morning, whether you're here in church or you're listening by way of the internet, all you have to do is trust Jesus Christ. Call upon the name of the Lord and God will save you. The blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse you. But it goes on to say, how are they going to believe if they don't hear? And how are they going to hear if someone doesn't preach it? If someone doesn't speak it? Paul writes to Timothy, he says, we need to be stirred up with a gospel boldness. So we go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And here's the interesting thing. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. You don't know how thankful I am today that God, by his grace, has given me the voice to preach. I've been spending all week saying, okay, Lord, if I'm going to preach, I'm just going to take my words real quiet, real slow, be real deliberate, be real calm. And the Lord says, no, you aren't. You're going to do what I want. Amen? I woke up this morning. I said, Lord, help me to be quiet. Help me to be calm. Help me not to cough. You've not heard me cough once this morning. Think about that. I'm thinking about it right now. Because my chest is saying, cough, brother, cough. And I'm saying, okay. I thought about this all week. I thought about, oh, well, Lord, you just want me to turn into a quiet preacher. So I've been working on it all week. I've been working on really talking slow and quiet to not perturb my lungs and cough. And the Lord says, I want you to preach and stir us up. Amen? Because right now I could start coughing for about 10 minutes. But here's the thing. Here's the thing that's neat about 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and I'll close with this. says, thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. He says, the gift of eternal life is unspeakable. But yet he doesn't want us to be silent about it, does he? He wants us to speak about the unspeakable gift. Folks, listen, we came through Thanksgiving, thankful to God. We're going into Christmas. And what's Christmas all about? Come on, what's Christmas all about? Christ, right? Christ, Jesus Christ, that God sent his Son into this world to be the Savior of this world. And if we go from Thanksgiving through Christmas and get to January, and we've not had a burden and a boldness to tell others about Jesus Christ, and what are we doing? What are we doing? Ask God to stir you up. Please ask God to stir you up with the gospel blessing. Listen, you're saved. You're saved. I don't care what else is going on in your life. Excuse me, I do care. But what I mean is, you're saved. Out there, they're lost. They are lost without Christ. And we're saved. We're saved. I trust you're saved. I hope you're saved. I pray that you're saved. Someone here is listening this morning. Someone somewhere is listening this morning. Please accept Jesus Christ, your Savior. Please trust Jesus Christ, your Savior. Don't go another minute being lost. Call upon the name of the Lord. He'll save you. But ask God to stir you up, not only with a gospel blessing, but because of the gospel blessing, with a gospel burden, with a burden, and with a boldness, not with arrogance, but with humility and thanksgiving. Listen, we have the answer, folks. We have the answer. The answer is Jesus Christ. The answer is Jesus Christ. Let's not be napping. Let's be awake for the Lord Jesus Christ. Souls hang in the balance, and they need Jesus Christ. Let's pray.